GFF. I'm Lauren, the host of the Good Gluten-Free Grub podcast. Living with celiac disease has required constant adapting, and I am here to share how I live and love my gluten-free life and how you can too. I'm excited to be your new gluten-free friend. Thanks for being here and enjoy the show. Welcome back, my gluten-free friends. I want to do a little life update, what's been going on in my life before we dive into the meat of the show. Today, I do have an interview with Kayla Capiello. She's an incredible content creator, recipe developer, and author, gluten-free cookbook author. And I have an interview with her today that you guys get to listen to, and I know you'll enjoy it. But before we dive into that, I just kind of want to talk about some things that have been going on and things that you can get excited about in the gluten-free community. Last week, there was an ad in my podcast for a 100% gluten-free brunch house that is opening up. Actually, as I'm recording this, today is their opening day. And it is a brunch house called Locals, and it's in Provo, Utah. So for all of my Utah gluten-free gang who listen, go support a local gluten-free business. You know how important it is that they receive business from gluten-free eaters, because that is who they're serving, and it's important for us to support them. I got to go to their soft opening last weekend, and it was incredible. First of all, I left so stuffed because we got to sample like 7 or 8 items that are on the menu. We didn't get to eat all of them, but almost all. And Jess is the chef and creator and the owner of Locals, and just the recipes that she's been developing for years and mastering. And one of my favorite things that she said at the grand opening was, our mission and what is so important to us is that everyone can eat here and that everyone can afford to eat here. So there's nothing over $10 on the menu. And that's huge, especially in the gluten-free community. Like, we are so used to paying like for outrageous upcharges for gluten-free this, gluten-free that. And just like the price of a meal is typically between like, you know, $12 to $15 for a meal. But nothing is over $10 at her restaurant. And so I just want to highly encourage you, if you are local to Utah or if you plan to visit Utah, put Locals on your list of places to try. It is in the heart of Provo on University Avenue and almost Center Street. It is just delicious. And I just want everyone to go support her, because you'll have an amazing time, and you'll have huge cinnamon rolls and sweet potato bowls and breakfast pizza and stuffed French toast. And like, her menu is amazing. And just make sure that you are supporting her. And if you're planning on coming to visit Utah, put that on your list of a place to go. They are open from Wednesday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to noon. So they are a breakfast brunch place only, but makes for a fun breakfast outing. So I just wanted to give one more shout out to them and encourage you to support a local Utah gluten-free business. Let's think what else I have written down here that I wanted to discuss. If you follow me on Instagram, which I hope you do, if you're not following me on Instagram, please go follow. It's at Good Gluten-Free Grub. That is where you can find places to submit, you know, your submissions on things you want talked about on the podcast. And my link in my bio will take you to submit your celiac story if you want to share your celiac story. Two nights ago, my husband, I was out doing some church activities and I was out late and I was hungry and I needed to run to Smith's and I needed to get some things done. And my husband was just like, I haven't eaten dinner. Can you please just pick me up something? This is very out of the ordinary. But I said, you know, I'm right here in the Smith's parking lot. Like, I could grab you Arby's. It's like the only thing that's open right now. And he's like, yeah, I'll get Arby's. So I go through the line of Arby's. First of all, no matter where you go in the world, the Arby's line is so slow. Like, there were only 3 cars in the line and it took me 20 minutes to get my food. And I'm like, what's going on in there? Anyway, and that's the same in like my hometown where I'm from. Arby's is it's always been that way. Even when I was a kid, I remember specifically Arby's taking so long. Anyway, so I ordered my husband some food and he wanted to curly fries. And as soon as I grabbed that bag out of the window and put it in my front seat, I was like filled with, like, just memories came flooding back of, like, the last time I had Arby's and just tasting in my mouth, salivating, wishing I could eat one of those curly fries and just remembering how delicious the curly fries are. And a lot of people messaged me. And so anyway, I made a video about this and I was just saying, like, I am this close to crying because I, you know, it's emotional and it's hard. And this is a rare occasion. My husband never asks me to pick him up gluten food ever. If he's going to eat it, he'll go do it on his own because he doesn't like to make me sad. But in this situation, I did it. And yeah, I was really emotional and I cried about the curly fries. So I had so many people message me, one being like, you can have the roast beef, just like ask them to put it in a bowl and get cheddar on it and get the Arby's sauce. I don't care about the roast beef sandwich. No, it's the curly fries. So thank you to everyone who told me that I could get something at Arby's, but no. Never, I would never in a million years eat a roast beef sandwich from Arby's. I don't know why. I just never have liked it my whole childhood and adulthood. So anyway, my husband, he's not on Instagram. And so then I showed him my story and he was like, no, everyone's going to think you like that. I'm always eating like nasty gluten food in front of you and like making you jealous. And so he made me do a story to clarify that like he never makes me do this. And this was like a very rare occasion that I would ever pick him up gluten food. Anyway, I had so many people message me. Like I had one friend message me. I have to read the DM because it made me laugh so hard. You know, like my sister-in-law messaged me and she's like, I've never met a more amazing gluten-free husband than Jared. So yeah, he can have a pass on this and eat some Arby's. And yeah, I just had a lot of people say this is hilarious. But yeah, my husband's a very wonderful, amazing husband and he never eats gluten around me. So this was a very rare occasion. Anyway, so my friend Shelby messaged me and she said, he is giving GF Kennergy. And he really is. He is the ultimate support hype gluten-free husband. And I'm just so grateful for him. She said he's giving GF Kennergy. We all saw him at the expo handing out merch, talking to people, handing out friendship bracelets and informing the masses. He can enjoy some curly fries guilt-free. We know all he does for the gluten-free community. Anyway, oh, that just made my day. Because I'm like, yes, Jared is gluten-free Kennergy all the time. He is the ultimate gluten-free husband. Anyway, so that just made me laugh. I just wanted to share that story in case you're not on Instagram and didn't see my stories a couple of days ago. Okay, let's think. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to discuss. Just remember to go support. Oh, this is the thing. Back to that. Go support Locals Brunch House in Provo. Follow them on Instagram and go eat there because it's delicious, especially if you live in Utah. The second thing I wanted to talk about was I'm just being completely honest and raw and like just my unfiltered brain I'm talking to you because I'm really struggling as a creator. Like I'm really passionate about this podcast. It's really exciting for me and I think that it's really educational. And if I had had a podcast like this when I was first diagnosed, it would have felt so validating to hear someone in my ears telling me like that they go through the same things as me and giving me tips and helpful education and hearing other people's stories. It would have helped me so much. So I'm just frustrated as a podcast creator that when you search gluten-free on the podcast app, I'm not even on the homepage. I'm on the second or third page, which I don't know how many people are actually like swiping through and searching all the gluten-free podcasts, but I'm just like not showing up on the homepage. And it's frustrating to me because some of the podcasts that are showing up haven't had episodes since like 2016, 2017, 2020. And I'm like, okay, why are these showing up as the first podcast, gluten-free podcast listed when they haven't had episodes in years? But my podcast is on the second or third page of the podcast search when you search gluten-free. So I just wanted to come to you and ask you guys if you would please be willing to leave a 5-star rating and a review on the podcast app, specifically Apple. If you have Spotify, it's also very helpful. But if you could search, I mean, if you could go to my podcast channel on the Apple podcast app and click the 5 stars and even just write like this podcast is amazing. Like, thank you for this podcast, or just a thumbs up or a heart, like literally anything. The more comments and the more ratings and reviews it gets, then it gets pushed to the first page. And I just feel discouraged that I've been working so hard at this podcast and trying to get this information to you guys. But when people search gluten-free, I don't even show up on the homepage, but a podcast that was had its last episode in 2017 is there. So like, that's not helpful for you guys. Like, if you see a podcast and it says like gluten-free 101 or something, I don't know, I'm just making that up. But if you click on it and it has had two episodes and the last one was in 2017, like, that's not helpful for you. And I want my podcast to be helpful for anyone who's searching for gluten-free content that's free and accessible. So this is just my ask. It is the month of love. It is February. Like, if you love this podcast, if it's helpful for you, please, please, please leave a rating and a review. And if you want to go above and beyond, because Valentine's is coming up and I'll be your gluten-free Valentine, please share my podcast on your stories and tell people that you've loved the podcast and that it's helped you in your gluten-free journey. That would just make my whole day. So that's just had to tell you what I've been struggling with as a content creator and a podcaster, because I just want this to get to people who really need it and could benefit greatly from it. So, all right, without further ado, I am going to play the episode and the recording that I have with Kayla Capiello, and you can hear more about her gluten-free life and all of the amazing things that she does for the gluten-free community. Enjoy. Hi, Kayla. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you're here.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me.
This is a really exciting time for everyone who's gluten-free, and you are another great resource for people to know about, to be following, and people want to hear your story. I think one of the things that I've been doing in the past with my podcast is people sharing their celiac stories, and people will write in and I have a chance to read their stories, and everyone's story is so different, and leading to diagnosis or finding out allergies is different for every single person. Not one person is the same. So it's really interesting and cool to hear other people's stories, because there may be a listener that maybe know somebody who's going through something you went through. And so it might encourage them to be like, okay, I'm going to try and find a diagnosis, or I'm going to get tested for certain allergies or whatever it may be. So we want to hear your story and kind of what led you to, you know, your cookbook, and what led you to your growth on Instagram and you creating awesome gluten-free recipes for the community online.
Perfect. So I'm glad you said what you just said though, because I think in the beginning, as I start to tell my story here, part of it is like a lack of education and a lack of resources. When I was going through something, I just like didn't know where to turn or what to look up or what to Google or what doctor to go to. So I love doing these things because, like you said, I hope there's someone out there who maybe has symptoms I have or has a similar like experience or a similar journey. And like, hopefully I can help people along the way, because I think a lot of this stems from like in the beginning, I was super lonely and like it felt isolating. But I am lactose intolerant, so I don't consume that much dairy. If I do, I obviously take a lactaid.
Same. I'm
celiac. My dad is as well, so now it's like less of a lonely issue, but I'm obviously gluten-free. Yes. And then I am allergic to some tree nuts as well, one of them being almonds. And that's like a crazy thing for someone who's celiac, because a lot of gluten-free products are made with almonds.
Yes.
And in the beginning, I didn't really put two and two together. So like through my journey, it's really been quite challenging with the almond introduction. I always knew I was allergic to pistachios. I was like dating someone in high school, and as a snack, I went over his house and I ate some pistachios and my entire face was swollen, and it was like immediate. I really knew. And that I've lived with like all my life, but I never made the correlation between, how do you explain it? Like, when you can't eat wheat, you're not having, or when you can't have gluten, you're not having a reaction where your face is getting swollen, mm-hmm. and your lips were getting swollen. So it was really hard for me to understand like there were other types of dietary restrictions besides allergies. So a real big red flag for me was when I was in college. Obviously, everybody likes to drink and go out and go to parties and bars. Mm-hmm. And in college, everyone is drinking beer. And then after you have some beer with your friend, you're going to get pizza late night after. And it was like, my reaction was just not what anyone else. Everyone was tired after. Everyone was hungover. But I was like, could not function. My friends would be going to the gym. I couldn't even get out of bed, like going to the bathroom, having stomach issues. It was like I knew I was having more digestive issues that I couldn't get past, but it never, ever occurred to me to see a doctor.
And
I
this
mean, I
was
brought it up.
before the celiac diagnosis.
Oh,
Like
yeah,
this was
this
before
is
you
totally
knew.
before I had anything.
Okay.
So I totally put off going to a doctor because I wasn't getting that reaction that I get to some nuts.
Okay.
It can't be a dietary thing because, like, my face would be swollen or my lips would be swollen, and that wasn't happening.
Right.
So, after that, fast forward, I moved to Hoboken with a bunch of my friends after college. And one night after eating, I think I had like chicken fingers, I was severely sick. I was vomiting. I was having like heart palpitations. I could not figure out what was wrong with me. And I ended up going to urgent care, and they told me that they wanted me to get tested to see if I had like a dietary restriction, but also to see if I had food poisoning,
Okay.
which at the time was confusing, but I was like, sure, whatever. So I ended up seeing a doctor related to like gut issues, and she was like, I'm going to test you for absolutely everything until we figure this out. In the meantime, my dad had also been diagnosed with celiac, same thing. He one night in the middle of the night felt really sick, went to the hospital, and they did a ton of testing there. And then he eventually found out that he was celiac and he had the celiac gene. So I guess it was in the back of my head at this point that like I knew what it was and our symptoms were very similar.
Okay.
When the doctor decided to like do these tests, at least I was a little more educated and knew what I was getting tested for.
How long had your dad had celiac before you got your diagnosis?
Probably a year or two,
Okay.
which I think was pretty frustrating because a lot we have so much in common, like food related. And we used to joke around when we were like, when I was younger, that if I had toast in the morning with peanut butter, my entire day was ruined. Like I would be bloated and I would be sick. And we used to joke about it. Like I'd have to go to the hospital as like a joke. But years later, we like obviously laugh about it now because we always think thought it was like the melted peanut butter that like wasn't sitting well, but it was
Okay, yeah.
obviously like we were eating toast and
The bread.
it shouldn't
Yeah.
have been. So I guess once he got diagnosed and I started noticing all these symptoms I was having that were the equivalent of what he was having, it was interesting to me, but it didn't like make me rush to go get tested. I was just like, I
Right.
think maybe I should try gluten-free,
And you
but
never think that it's going to happen to you either.
no.
You're like, that's his thing. This, of course,
Right.
this isn't going to happen
Also,
to
like I'm living my best life, like working in New
me.
York City, like going to a deli every day for lunch, getting these like amazing sandwiches. Like I was just, I love food. And I
Yeah.
didn't, I guess it was like I wanted to stop feeling the way that I was feeling. And his suggestions were valid, but there wasn't like a diagnosis that I could be like forcing myself to like do the right thing.
Right.
So once I ended up getting sick and going to the doctor and she offered to test me for it with all these other tests, I was like, sure, like go for it. So it did come back that I did have food poisoning. So
Interesting.
yeah, that was definitely something that like led me to like force me to go to the doctor because I didn't
Right.
know that I would have gone. So I did have food poisoning. She also tested me once I told her the story about my dad. She immediately did a blood test to confirm if I had the celiac gene.
Okay.
She was like, if you don't have the celiac gene from your dad, you could obviously still be intolerant, but like different angle, different diagnosis.
Right.
And then in the same doctor's appointment, she also sent me home with the test to see if you're lactose intolerant.
Okay.
Basically, if no one knows about it, it is not pleasant, especially if you know that dairy doesn't sit right.
I
Basically,
can
drink like
only imagine.
a
Oh.
gallon of like lactose and you have to breathe into a tube, into a bag in increments over like hours. And I guess they
What?
measure what you're breathing out, but like I basically had to do it like on the bathroom floor because I was like so sick.
I cannot imagine.
It was just not
I
right.
could never like what's the word? Like willingly eat dairy. I would be so
So
wrecked.
that was
Oh
part
my
of my
gosh.
problem. I was like, I don't want to do the test because I know it won't go well. Like, I had to drink milk
Oh.
growing up every day as a kid, and it never sat well. So I didn't want to do any of these tests at all.
Yeah.
So for me, I guess in that moment, the lactose test was so scary that, like, getting tested for the celiac pain at the same time was like less scary because it was just
Right.
a blood test.
Right.
So she called me like the next day or the next week or whatever, saying, "Hey, you did have food poisoning. I wrote you a prescription. You, in fact, are lactose intolerant. So, here, like, you're going to have to come into the office. Like, here is what you're going to have to stop eating." And then she told me that I did have the celiac gene, which kind of left me hanging a bit because it's like not everybody who has the celiac gene has celiac disease.
Right.
And at the time, these are things like I don't know. So I don't know to ask these questions. So I went back, I made an appointment and I went back into the office and I felt like, yes, it did answer some questions, but I feel like it's isolating because she's not
Yeah.
sitting there giving me a list of things I can and can't eat or things I should be looking for on labels or what I should be avoiding. And it was a lot of information at once.
Right. Oh, so
So
daunting.
she confirms that I have the celiac gene and basically tells me for 6 weeks to eat gluten-free and keep an entire running list of every time I get sick, what I have consumed and what I had eaten. And it was so crystal clear. Like, after I had that like information from her, it forced me to not just eat some things gluten-free, to eat everything
Right.
gluten-free. And I she told me to do it for like 6 weeks, and I can tell you right now, within like the first like 5 days, it was like I was actually feeling like a normal human and I could like
Right.
focus because I wasn't getting that sandwich at work for lunch. And then at 3 o'clock, like I would have to like put my head down. I would have to like
Right. The
get a
fatigue.
coffee. Like, I could
Yeah.
not function the rest of the day. And now here I am, like at work, being like a normal human.
Yeah.
So I think in real life now, people are probably more educated and can ask like the right questions. And I always think about going back for like another like follow-up with her to like, because she said, like, you can obviously do an endoscopy, like if that's like the route you want to take. And I know a lot of people do that to have like 100% confirmation.
Right.
But after knowing like I had the gene and that my dad had it and my dad was full-blown celiac and we were so similar and eating gluten-free made me feel like a million times better, I was like, I just prefer to live my life this way and
Yeah.
it's okay with me.
That's so important for people to hear because I think a lot of people think like, well, okay, my doctor told me to go gluten-free to see how I feel, but then in order to get tested for celiac disease, I have to be eating gluten again. And so then, and I tell so many people when they ask me in my DMs, I'm like, you get to do what's best for you. If
Yeah.
you know that eating gluten-free is what makes you feel like $1 million and you're going to treat it like celiac disease, even though you don't have an official diagnosis, you can do that. You don't have to take the route of let's introduce gluten for 3 weeks and you have to eat gluten every day and die every day of pain or
Yeah.
discomfort or fatigue, right? Like your specific journey was, okay, I had the blood test knowing that I had the gene for it, but you never went through the endoscopy and like getting the testing done, the biopsy, right? But you still know, okay, this is the way, this makes me feel better, so I'm going to take that route and that's what's best for me. And I just think that if you're a listener and you're listening to that, just know that that is a route that you can take. Or if your doctor's telling your kid like, okay, they've been off gluten and they're feeling so much better, but in order to get tested for celiac disease, you have to put them back on. Like if that's going to destroy your child's quality of life for a month, like you don't have to do it. You get to make your own choices as the patient, and that's really important for people to understand. And if you want to treat it like celiac disease and eat gluten-free for the rest of your life, you can do that. Like, I think that's really, I'm glad that you shared that part of the story because you're not a quote unquote typical diagnosis story, but
Right.
you know that you have the gene for celiac, so you're going to treat your life like you have celiac disease and you know you feel better, and that's what matters most. This week's podcast sponsor is E3 Energy Cubes. These protein bars and energy cubes are a game changer in our community. These protein bars are a tasty blend of egg white protein, nuts, all fruit, and all handcrafted in a dedicated gluten-free facility. No gluten, no worries. As someone with celiac disease, I swear by these cubes. I seriously love them. The peanut butter ones are my absolute favorite. They're not only delicious, but they are a perfect on-the-go snack packed with protein, crunch, and natural sweetness. E3 Energy Cubes are a must try for anybody embracing a gluten-free lifestyle. You can use my discount code GFPOD15 for 15% off your order. That's all caps GFPOD15 for 15% off your order. I will link that in the show notes. Go ahead and give them a follow on Instagram as well at E3EnergyCubes. That's E3ENERGYCUBES, and give these protein bars a try. I promise you will love them.
Yeah, because it was one of those things where she was like, if you want to do it, we can do it, but like start eating gluten again. And I was like, okay, so like in a few weeks, like let's go out, let's get a piece of pizza, like I'll drink beer with my friends. And after like one night of it, it's just like destroying my entire lifestyle that I would call her back and be like, I physically can't. I mean, maybe now that I'm like older, I would like know enough to be like, okay, like I really need to give this a shot and like try it. But I think it was like almost 15 years ago now, it was like knowing you had the gene and knowing this made me feel better was enough for me. And one of my best friends, her kid is going through getting diagnosed for celiac. And in turn, it's for school purposes. So she needs an actual diagnosis so he can get free lunch at lunchtime. And I'm like, I don't need like the actual paperwork. I know I have the gene and I know I feel better. And 1 + 1 for me is like, okay.
Exactly. Yes. Oh man. I have a friend who lives near me whose daughter, they never officially went through the process because they took out gluten. And then the doctor said, okay, you're going to have to reintroduce gluten again. And after 2 days, the girl was like, I can't eat another piece of bread.
I was like crying.
Oh, and for her, I mean, the unique thing about celiac disease is there's so many symptoms, right? And for this little girl, like she would go completely, like her heels would be in so much pain that she couldn't even walk.
Oh my God.
It would cause it was affecting her nervous system and like almost like neuropathy type symptoms in her feet. And she's this, you know, 12-year-old little girl who's like, I can't even walk to the kitchen table. I can't even walk to school. I can't do anything. So like, no, I'm not going to get this test done. I'm just going to continue to treat it like celiac disease, you know, and just know that that's okay.
Yeah. And I think like what's also important is like, if you choose to take the route that I took, like it's important to know if you really are committing to this or if you're just like trying it out. Because I'm part of like a bunch of Facebook groups of like people who are gluten-free, people who are celiac, like people who just choose it as like a lifestyle and don't have a dietary restriction. And cross-contamination is like such a big deal in those groups.
Right.
So like by choosing to go gluten-free, it's not, oh, this is fun, I'm just going to order the gluten-free pizza like when I go out and not think about it. It's like, no, you can't have soy sauce and you can't have different salad dressings and you can't have things that are, you know, maybe processed on a surface that gluten was processed on.
Right.
So it's like you have to think further than, oh, I'm just going to avoid gluten by buying like the gluten-free bread. And I think for me that took a lot. That took a long time, which is kind of how I got started on Instagram. I think like in the beginning, I just tried to change like my diet over like as quickly as I could without like inconveniencing my whole life.
Right.
But like as I started to look for gluten-free recipes, I figured out like, oh, like it's gluten-free, but it still contains dairy, or this recipe is gluten-free, but like it still has nuts, it still has almonds.
Right.
So for me, once I started cooking at home, that was like the most challenging, and making sure like every single gluten was processed like in a facility that didn't have wheat, that didn't have gluten. It would be such a win for me when I came up with a meal that was so completely safe that like I felt great at the end of it. I wasn't tired, I wasn't sick, I wasn't running to the bathroom. Like that was such a win for me that I would just post it on Instagram being like, here's this great meal I made. I have allergies. If there's one other person out there who has similar allergies, Like, here it is. And I never even thought, here's a girl with like three dietary restrictions. I was like, what are the chances there's someone else who's gonna like find me on social media that could benefit from this meal?
And now
But
here you
apparently,
are. Now here you
apparently,
are. You
like,
almost have 100,000 followers on
yeah, it's like
Instagram.
crazy because it's isolating in the beginning. You want to go to dinner with your friends. You want to drink what your friends are drinking. You don't want to be that person at a party that's like, I can't eat any of this. I need to bring my own food. I need to bring my own meal. But now, 15 years later, I'm like, I'm going to bring a dish, even if no one else wants it, just so I have something
And
to
it's gonna taste amazing, so you can
eat.
all suck it. I'm just curious. So, over the course of the last 15 years, have you been glutened, quote unquote, glutened, or have had
Oh, yes.
cross-contamination experiences where you know for sure, like, okay, there, I know I made the right choice by being like, I am going 100% gluten-free.
Yeah, so it was definitely more towards the beginning of like these last 15 years. I think a couple times with my friends, I would just be craving something so hard that like I used to eat and like, my old lifestyle. And I would be like, okay, like everybody come over tonight. Like we're gonna eat it. But like once I eat it, like if I don't feel well, like just a heads up. But like I would be like passed out on the couch with like a heating pad. I'd be like drinking green tea or peppermint tea, and everybody else would still be like completely fine. So I think I want to say like the inconvenience of it all, but probably like the embarrassment of it all. Like I was so sick that the further I got into the 15 years, I was like, I'm never doing this again, like
Not
purposefully.
worth
Like
it.
I learned my
Not worth
lesson.
it.
Definitely accidentally a few times. 'Cause I think it's just so for me, my symptoms are like definite brain fog. I cannot function afterwards and I need to go to bed. Like I need to take at least an hour nap to be able to have like a clear functioning cognitive conversation. Another symptom is for me is like I have it, I like I hate saying this and I hate talking about it because I'm like so particular, but like it's an immediate bathroom problem. Like
Oh,
it is,
90% of
I'm
us it is.
cannot leave the house. Like, let me find some Imodium. Let me drink some tea. Let me lay with a heating pad. And I know it's going to be like five or six trips to the bathroom. So
Oh,
I think,
poor thing.
like, once that starts to happen, it's very clear that, like, I have done something wrong or, like, I've eaten something wrong because those things don't happen to me unless, like, I've consumed the gluten. So, like, one time I was with my husband, but at the time he was my fiance. We're on vacation and we went to a sushi place. I love sushi. And we asked for gluten-free soy sauce and they brought it out and we had our sushi. And I never order, I mean, everyone knows like the typical things you cannot order at a sushi restaurant. Like, don't get tempura, don't get anything that's fried. I ask for all my sauces on the side, like no imitation crab. So it seemed safe. And then I asked for the gluten-free soy sauce and they brought it out. So fine. Well, it clearly wasn't gluten-free soy sauce. And I was like dumping it on everything. So it's not like just one
Oh
little
no.
teaspoon. It's like a lot of it.
Oh yeah.
And I, as soon as we like made it to the car in the parking lot, I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm gonna sleep the whole car ride home. And then once we get back to where we're staying, like, I need to take a nap. And it's so frustrating because in that moment, you're on vacation and like,
Yeah, it ruins your
you
whole trip.
wanna have fun.
That's one of the things. Sorry, go ahead.
I also recently did it at my parents' house. I want to say it was last Christmas or two Christmases ago, because my dad is celiac. So I feel like nine times out of 10, I can just eat food there and not have to think about it. And I know that's silly because as someone with a dietary restriction, like you should always think about it. But sometimes it feels like such a comfort zone that I don't. You're at dinner, some holiday dinner. And there were pieces of Italian bread like sliced with like butter. So I'm taking my lactate and I'm putting butter like on a slice of bread. And I had already eaten like one slice of the Italian bread, about to bite into my second. And out loud, I was like, this is the best gluten-free loaf like we've ever had. And my mom was like, oh, that's not gluten-free. And I'm like, you couldn't, why is it on the table? Like,
You're
you
like,
couldn't
why are you
afford it.
screaming at me and throwing it out of my hand?
Like, what a disaster. Like, they always have the gluten-free bread on the table, but it's like a holiday and there's extra people there. So now there's both, and like,
Right.
I'm eating the wrong one.
Oh my gosh, that's a nightmare, especially with Christmas and social things, vacations. It's like,
Yeah.
it's so important, like, not to take the risks. Like, you know, obviously you did it. You learned from your mistakes. Like,
Yeah, for
I've done
sure.
it. I've done it. I've learned from my mistakes, but maybe a listener has yet to experience a holiday season, or maybe they've yet to go on vacation or something like that. And it's like, it's those situations where you're like, I need to be prepared and know, like, and know that my meal is going to be safe, because the rest of your vacation could potentially just go to crap
Oh, yeah.
if you don't. And then it's like, that's a waste of thousands of dollars you're pouring into
Right.
vacation. Or
And you're like, you're just laying in a hotel room, like, not
exactly.
well.
Yeah. And I think that's the Italian bread. Oh, I feel so, I
Out
bet it was
loud, I'm
so
like, this
delicious,
is the
but
best Italian bread I have ever had.
oh
Like,
my
yeah, no wonder it
gosh.
was like so great. It was so fluffy.
So is your family Italian?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm assuming.
And my husband's family is
Oh,
Italian.
wow.
So
Okay, so
there's a lot
that's
of
like big
Italian.
changes. That's like a really big change to
Yeah.
find things that your comfort foods are used to, and things like that. And I know a lot of listeners, that's a really big challenge for them, is now I'm gluten-free and now I can't have all the things that I grew up eating, or the traditional foods that my family makes, or, you know, XYZ, whatever it may be. You do end up feeling a lot of sadness and isolation because you don't get to eat the holiday traditional foods. And I mean, I feel like we live in a really great time now that there's access to awesome dupes for almost everything you can think of. Your Instagram page has so many great recipes, and you have a cookbook. So tell us about your cookbook and what people can learn from your cookbook, what type of recipes are in there.
So I think when I did my cookbook, I really didn't have a lot of followers yet on Instagram. I think I had like under 10,000 followers. And a literary agent contacted me. It was right in the beginning of COVID. I want to say it was like 2 months into COVID, and was like, I really like your recipes. I really think you have like a story to tell that's bigger than an Instagram caption. And it really got me thinking, like, yeah, you're right. An Instagram caption's so small, and I want to talk about all these things. And I think for me, like what I said earlier, I just didn't have a resource. Like when I went gluten-free, there was no one to help me. There was no one who knew. Like food bloggers, like wasn't as big of a thing.
Right.
Like dietary restrictions and like food allergy bloggers definitely wasn't a thing. So it was like every recipe I would find, like I said, had just one accommodation and not all of them.
Right. Not all of yours.
So I think when I started writing my cookbook, I initially started with making kind of what you just mentioned, recipes that I grew up with or I really liked into the gluten-free, dairy-free, or nut-free option. And then from there, I kind of ventured into, okay, I like to order this pizza when I go out. Like, how can I actually remake it at home? But to be clear, it is definitely like for beginners because that's like what works for my lifestyle and like the way I live my life. So like I'm not going to make you make an entire pizza dough from scratch and make, fried chicken from scratch to put on top of the pizza to now have like a buffalo chicken pizza.
Right, okay.
Like make your life easy. It's all about like living with this lifestyle, and you don't want to be taking 4 hours to make a meal every single night. So it's
Right.
easy things that you can go back to time and time again. You can switch them up. There are hacks to make it easier. So like buy your pizza crust or, buy your gluten-free chicken fingers to put on top. Like you don't need to fry the cutlet from scratch every single time. And each recipe focuses on the base recipe. And then there's a key on the side, how to make it gluten-free, how to make it dairy-free, how to make it vegan, like how to make it a 30-minute recipe, time-saving hacks. So you can
Wow.
pick and choose what's applicable for you. Because if you're vegan and gluten-free and my recipe for buffalo chicken pizza has chicken on it, it's okay that you buy the vegan version of crispy chicken frozen from the grocery store and put it on top because you are still making at the end of the day the pizza that I really like to order from my favorite pizza place.
Okay, that's so great. And I think that, I mean, you're saying like just a disclaimer, it's for beginners. Like that's what we all need. We all need the beginner's version.
Because
And
it's like
no.
there's so many out there that are like, here's how
Oh,
you're
it's
going to make
too
a cupcake
much.
from scratch.
Yeah,
And I'm
it's
like,
too much.
I don't have time for all this. Like, it's
Yeah.
crazy.
And especially if the recipe is like you need tapioca flour and brown rice flour
Right.
and white rice flour and you need all these and you need psyllium husks and you're just like, this is
It's
too
crazy.
much. Yeah,
And I
it's too
think in the
much.
beginning, that is what I absolutely hated about looking for recipes. I hated when it had an ingredient that was like outrageous. Like, I hated when the ingredient list was like 25 things
Yeah.
long and I had to go to the grocery store and buy 22 of them. Because it's like, it's so inconvenient. And I
Oh,
was like,
yeah.
when it's my cookbook, it needs to be like achievable, affordable, easy to read, great meals, but like, everybody's human and has way more going on in their life besides their diagnosis. Like, here's a great meal that also accommodates you, but isn't going to take over your whole life.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Okay, well, tell people where they can find your cookbook.
So you can find it on Amazon. You can also find it on Target or Barnes and Noble. It's called Easy Allergy Free Cooking. And you can also go on my Instagram at Kayla Capiello, and there is a link to it in the bio or on my website, kaylacapiello.com, and there is also a link there.
Okay, lots of great places to find it. How exciting that you're in Target and Barnes and Noble. What a great
It's
accomplishment. That is so cool.
like really fun to be on vacation and see like a bookstore and like
Yeah.
go in and be like, wait, is it here? And it like always is. I'm always like sending a picture, like a little
That
selfie
is
to
so
my parents.
cool. Did you say you live in New York? Is that where you live now?
So I grew up in New York and then I lived in New Jersey after college in Hoboken, but last year we moved to Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay. Oh, well, you're near lots of good stuff. I went to New
Yeah.
York last year. Like this time last year, I was in New York. So my phone's like popping up, being like the 1 year ago, and it's like all my New York pictures. And I'm like, I'm ready to go back. I want to go back to New York. Okay, well, this is such amazing information. If you don't follow Kayla on Instagram, be sure to follow her. I will link her Instagram page, her website, the links to buy her book, all in the show notes here on the podcast app. And honestly, just follow Kayla just for the beautiful, aesthetically pleasing page that her page is. Like when you look through it, you're like, you're inspired and you feel like super excited. And every reel that you make is so easy. Like your
Thanks.
the name of your book, like Easy Meals, is actually real. Like I was watching a couple of them last night and I'm like, I can accomplish all of these things. Like it's not hard. And just the way that you film and the way that it looks is so beautiful. So well done. I think
Thanks.
it's
Thank
really, really
you.
great. Okay, I want to ask you one last thing before we
Sure.
close. What is something, I know I didn't ask you this beforehand, so you're not prepared, but what's something that you're like currently obsessed with, like a gluten-free snack or a grocery product item, just something that you're kind of like obsessed with right now?
So, okay, this is kind of long-winded for a last question, but for Christmas every year, my husband makes ravioli from scratch for his entire family, and we have it on Christmas Eve every single year. And this year, we were like, okay, we're going to dedicate 2024 to learning how to make pasta from scratch.
Wow.
So, once a weekend, we have like a little date night, we pour some wine and we make some pasta from scratch. So far we have mastered gluten-free spaghetti from scratch. And last weekend we made gluten-free ravioli with sausage and cheese and caramelized onions. So definitely the making pasta from scratch has been really fun. And it's really just like gluten-free flour and eggs. So it's two ingredients. It's
Wow.
really easy, but definitely something I've been like obsessing over lately. But I have like yet to post it on Instagram until I know I like have it down
You've
because it's so
mastered the
easy.
recipe. Yes. Well, we will all be waiting and watching because that sounds exciting. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was so fun getting to know you and learning more about what you offer the gluten-free community. And everyone, be sure to check out Kayla, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and a review. I would love to connect with you on my other social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok. My handle is @goodglutenfreegrub.